Let us all seek the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, it is our prayer that even through the message tonight and from thy word we might still new beauties see and still increasing light. Bless then the ministry of thy word to every heart. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Let us turn to 1 Timothy and chapter 4. Now, in this passage before us this evening, the Apostle Paul has been teaching and expressing his concern for that church and instructing that young pastor, Timothy, regarding what is to come and the challenges that he would face and how he was to live and be motivated by the promises of God and the truth that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now he continues on, but even more personally, he addresses things. He speaks very personal words. And Timothy receives these words from a man who truly loves him and knows him well. And it would be very tempting for us, and you are going to hear very personal nature of this message in the pronouns that the apostle uses. He keeps saying thee, thy, thyself. Specifically, he says to Timothy, you, Timothy. I'm addressing you as my fellow soldier, fellow minister, a good minister of Jesus Christ, a servant of the Lord. He had been Paul's right-hand man, and yet he was a weak man in various ways. We can deduce that from various passages. And he had some health issues, and so the apostle addresses that as well for him and instructs him. He was temperamentally meek and seems to have had some form of hard time transitioning into the role of the main elder or pastor of that congregation. He was a young man in respect, and all of those combined together bring about certain characteristics and dynamics in the way that Paul speaks to him in this passage. So it would be very tempting for us to say, well, good, we are going to be hearing what the Apostle Paul says to this one minister, and really it doesn't have anything to say to us today. I can just listen to it. It is being expounded. Yes, that is good, but there is not much application for me today. Well, if you took that posture, if you took that attitude, you would be in a wrong position. Because every word of God is given by inspiration. Every word of God is, the apostle says, is profitable for you. It is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, for training as a believer in righteousness. So it is for us today. So here is Paul speaking. And we see that in this passage what Paul says to Timothy is not only applicable to Timothy, it is applicable to everyone who is a minister of the gospel. And we could say in a general sense, every Christian is a servant of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to bear witness of that gospel. We are epistles, the Apostle Paul says, read of all men. Now these words are directed directly to elders, overseers, pastors, in terms of what the Lord wants them to be and do. But everyone, even those of you who are not called to be ministers, elders in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can say, well, Lord, this is what you want me as a servant, as your servant to be. Lord, teach me. Lord, this is what you want your elders and ministers to be like and to look like. Then, Lord, give me grace to pray for them and pray for myself that I may grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can, through this, you can encourage God's ministers wherever they are. Then you might go somewhere else. You might be looking for a church that is described here, a minister who is described here. That's what you must be looking for. So that's one thing that you could apply to yourself. However, even in the things that the Apostle Paul tells Timothy to do here, there is much that is said about the what the ministry pattern of the local church is to be. If Timothy does these things that Paul tells him to do in these verses, especially 11 to 16, there are going to be certain things that are going to be central to the ministry of the church. And as a Christian, you should long then for the local church to be what the apostle shows us and what God reveals in his word and what he says it ought to be based on this passage. And then also, you as a believer can learn much about what you are to be and do from this passage to a Christian minister. Why? Because in this passage, the Apostle Paul says, Timothy, you are to do this in order to be what? To be an example to the flock. Well, if he's to do certain things in order to be an example to you, what are you supposed to do then? You are to follow that example as he follows the Lord Jesus Christ. And so even though these words in the first instance are spoken to a minister and here to Timothy, they're applicable to every Christian. And even if you are here today, this evening, and you have not embraced Jesus Christ, you are not a Christian. If you don't know him savingly, you can learn from this passage too. Because this passage is talking about the means or the ways that God does two things. The means that God saves sinners and the means that God builds up Christians, builds up the saints, builds up his disciples. And so if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ experientially, savingly, you can learn here the way that God goes about doing that. What's a minister supposed to be and do? And what is the heart of the ministry of the local church? That's a question. And we have to say, sadly, in the past decades in the United Kingdom, and we could say generally in the West, there have been more answers given to that question than we can list here this evening. Just about everybody studying the church today agrees that ministers are expected to be more than to be doing more things now than they've been expected to do before. Historically, the Christian church expected the elders and pastors to preach. They expected ministers to lead in worship, to minister to the flock of God. Today, they're expected to be, we could say, a jack of all trades, all sorts of things. To be a salesman, to be a fundraiser, to be a leader, to be a counselor, to be a therapist, to be a coach. And then along somewhere he preaches for a few minutes, once in a while, from time to time. From time to time he would minister the Word of God. There have been multiplication of expectation on the part of those in the pew for the ministers of the Word. What then ought to be the, as it were, the job description of the servants of the Lord? Paul has something to say about that in this passage today. What ought to be the model, the pattern for the ministry in the local assembly? Again, if it was down to looking at what people say today, we wouldn't have time to make a list of those options. In the eyes of the contemporary churches even, the church needs to be completely remodeled in order to appeal to seekers. is to appeal to seekers. What then should be the pattern of ministry? Here, the apostle gives us a number of pointers. He says to us six things, very briefly, that he directs Timothy and he directs every minister and every church to think about. Six things that have something to say to all of us here gathered under the hearing of the Word of God tonight. And the first thing is this, from verse 11. He speaks about the authoritative declaration of God's truth. The authoritative declaration of God's truth. He says this, "These things command and teach. Speak with authority and instruct your flock," he says, "with these truths." What I have revealed to you, what God has revealed to you, you speak these words authoritatively. It is coming from God. It's not your message. It is God's message that you must bring. And so the Apostle Paul wants Timothy to proclaim, and his proclamation to be authoritative. That's the first point, he says to Timothy. Your ministry should be authoritative. You are not going there casually with your hand in your pocket and to be just saying, giving your own opinions and your own thoughts about the matter, and I'm here to share some things with you. We are not here to share things with you. The apostle uses a key word here, which is actually a military language, he says. He uses a term, this word command. He doesn't always use this word. It's a military word that is used. These things command, that is to charge and teach. Here's that word that speaks of the orders that are given by a superior officer to the inferior officers. There is no question about it. They are not to say, "Oh, excuse me, I don't think I will do that. It doesn't suit me." He says, "You command it. That's your responsibility. What they do with it is not your responsibility. But you must be commanding these things." And so he says, this is proclamation. This message that is to be given, it is to be authoritative. And that's not always nice. People don't feel it is a nice thing. And do you see how countercultural that is? We are told by many people today that the pattern of the ministry in the Christian church needs to be changed because people don't like to be preached at. They don't like a sermon. Or they like a dialogue, to sit down with a coffee in a circle and have a chat and see what everyone thinks about the matter. And to have an open Bible and just have a nice chat about it. And have a discussion about it. There's a place for those things. I don't have a problem with that. But when it comes to the ministry of the Word of God on the Lord's Day, it must come with that authority from heaven. This is a serious thing. It's not a one-to-one chat that we are having. It is a one-way thing, coming from God, coming from the Word of God to us. It's not an advice that is given. It's not a therapy session for us. But it's a direct proclamation of a sermon. And so, yet we are told on every side that we are to go about and see what the needs and to change things accordingly, because people don't like that. Friends, let me tell you this. People have never liked it. They have never liked it. That's why Paul addresses it here. Did they like the preaching of the Apostle Paul? No, he was arrested on many occasions. There's never been a time when people like to have their hearts probed. There's never been a time where people like to have somebody discover where they have been weighed in the balances and they were found wanting. They have seen some lack there. Do you like it? It's not always easy to listen to a sermon. It's not always easy when we are being probed and prodded at. When you're sitting there or lying there on a bed in the hospital and people are putting things in you. And so it's not a nice thing, but it must be done from time to time. So there have never been a time that preaching has been a popular thing. And so Paul says that is what exactly what people have always needed, whether they like it or not. So he says, Timothy, this is one thing you must remember, you must do. These things command and teach. This is something that you must command, you must prescribe it from the Word of God. You must teach these things. In other words, in your preaching, be authoritative. You are not speaking for yourself, Timothy. You're not sharing your opinions. You're not burdening people with your own idea about life. You're speaking God's word to them. So be authoritative about it. And do you know what? Because all faithful Christian teaching has with its view the production of life, a life of fellowship and a life of obedience to God, it has got to be authoritative, because we are not just speaking the word in order to tell you something new or interesting. We are not just giving you some fun facts to know and tell. Christian teaching has in view the transformation of life. It's a matter of life and death. And so it has got to be authoritative. We are to take on board every one of God's commands. And as Christians, we ought to want to sit under a ministry that is faithful in the authority of its proclamation. That's something that you ought to look for. Not a ministry that's dialoguing with you. Not a minister that's doing a nice chat with you from the pulpit, having a talk. No, this is serious. And so think about these things, friends. This is what the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is telling you what God wants in the ministry. These things command and teach. Not your things, these things, what has been revealed in the Scriptures. Now let us move on. The second thing, he speaks about the example that is set. The example set. In verse 12, he says, prove your office by your life. Prove your calling by your life. And that's what we see. Verse 12, it says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Let no man despise thy youth. Let no man look down on your youthfulness. But be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation. That word is for conduct, in charity or love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Show yourself an example to believers. So this is what Paul is saying. He's saying, Timothy, you ought to practice what you preach. Prove your office by your life. Timothy, you're young. There are older ones and more experienced people in your congregation who might possibly look at you and say, well, that's a young man. That's a young man preaching. That's a young man with little experience preaching. And Paul says, Timothy, you showed that you have every business being a minister, an overseer of the Word of God, and a preacher of the Word of God by the way you live. You practice what you preach. And we can say that for every Christian. We should practice what we believe and what we say we believe. And so he then focuses in on five specific areas here. He says, Timothy, first, notice first with your speech. With your speech, you show that you are qualified to be a minister of the Word of God. So he says this. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word. In word. He's not talking about his preaching. He's not talking about his preaching speech. This is his day-to-day speech. In the way that you talk, Timothy, in the respectful way that you talk to people, in the serious way that you talk to people, in the appropriate way that you talk to people, you show with your language that you are a minister of the gospel. And so you pray for wisdom, how to speak. So that's one thing. And isn't that right for all of us, all Christians? Should you not be an example in your families, parents, in your workplace, wherever you are, with your word? To be an example. What a witness that is. And then he says, in your conversation, or that is the word for conduct, in your manner of life, Timothy, show that you are qualified to be a preacher of the gospel. 24/7, every day, with your life outside of the pulpit, on Lord's Day morning and Lord's Day evening, the rest of the week, you show with your manner of life that you're called to be a preacher of the Word of God. Timothy, live that. Timothy, let your conduct be one that is worthy of people following. And then he says this, thirdly. He says, and Timothy, you show with your charity, with your love, the way it is displayed in you and towards others. You show in the way you serve in love, that you put their interests before your own, that you serve them even at your own expense. You show in the way that you love, that you are a minister of the gospel. And so that is what he says. We are only passing over these words, but they're all important words. In spirit, he says, as well. In spirit, in your own soul, in your motives, in the things that people see. Again, it is linked with the manner of life, but it is a deeper thing. Your attitude to things. What people see. Do they see a man who is always gloomy and down and not much vision and such things? No. What is your spirit like? The spirit of the man. Do you have a critical spirit, Timothy? Remember, people notice these things. They follow you in these things. Don't multiply others after you if you have a critical and bitter spirit. And then he says, of your faith. Let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith. You could understand this to mean your trust in the promises of God, or he might mean that your fidelity, your faithfulness to the truth of God. Either would be a true exhortation, wouldn't it? Timothy, by your faith, show that you are called to be a minister of the Word. The way you trust the Word of God. The way it is worked out in your life. You don't just say to people, trust in the Lord and all will be well. But you're living it out yourself. And then you stand for the defense of that truth as well. And then he says of purity. Timothy, be a pure man. Let others see your purity. And here is a word that actually it means, it is to do with moral purity. It is the word that is used for sexual purity. By the way that you relate to female members of your congregation. Be morally, sexually clean and pure. Timothy was living in a very immoral society. And so Paul says, make sure. And how many have fallen in these things? And of course, in a general sense, he says, be an example. Be an example. Timothy's preaching, his authoritative preaching, is to be preceded by a life that exhibits the fruits of that authoritative preaching. He's not just hot air, but his life shows. He is to be practicing what he preaches. And friends, all true Christian profession shows itself in how we live. you soon lose respect if you're just talk, and but if your life does not show it, people see through all of that in time. And so if Timothy is to be an example to us as believers in these areas, then we ought to be examples to one another in these areas too. Are you praying, friends, that the Lord would grow you in these areas? Are you praying for your brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ? Make this a prayer for the members of the church. You say, I don't know what to pray for such and such. I don't know his life circumstance. Well, you can pray about these things. Lord, bless them, this brother, this sister, in these things, so that they might be a godly example to other believers, in their words, in their speech. Lord, bless them. Lord, give them much grace. In their lifestyle, in their conduct, Lord, bless them. In the way they show their love, pour your love into their lives, that they might also give of that to others, in their spirit, in their attitude, Lord. And you pray for yourself about all of these things as well. And then we would be collectively a great witness to the world that God has done a work in our hearts. And therefore, in us, there is appropriate godly speech and conduct and love and the right spirit and faith and purity. What a good prayer to pray for one another. And it's certainly something for us all to aspire to, whether we are ministers, elders, or not. And you striving to adorn your life with godliness. Is that you? The challenge for ministers, elders here, church officers, the leaders. People are seeing you. Children are seeing you. Are you adorning your life with godliness? That's what the Lord is calling us to do. Elders have a special burden to strive after this godliness by the grace of the Holy Spirit. And then, let us move on. Thirdly, he speaks about the focus of ministry from and by the Word of God. In verse 13. He says, the focus of your ministry should be by the Word of God and from the Word of God. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Make the focus of your ministry the reading of the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God. Notice what the apostle says, Timothy. Here is going to be the focus of your ministry. Give attention. This is something that you must focus on. Give attention to the reading. This is a special word that is used here. It is to do with public reading. It's not a private reading. It's a public reading. And the language in the original is orderly, systematic. It's the verb that is continuous. It is something that he is to do. Every time he comes into the pulpit, he opens the scriptures and reads through it. How can we do that practically? By partly what we're doing, preaching through books of the scriptures, and then consecutive reading of the Word of God. There's never in the Word of God that people just came and picked and mixed wherever they thought it would be the appropriate portion. There would be a consistent reading of the Word of God, and then there would come a message either from that or from other places. But there must be given a high position to the public reading of the Word of God. And so this is what he says to Timothy, and then give yourself to this reading, to exhortation, to teaching. In other words, Timothy, Paul says, make the Bible the source, the thing, the stuff, the center of your ministry. Ministers, in other words, must give themselves to this book. And he says, minister by the ordinary means of grace. You don't need to do any kind of great things. You don't need to jump up and down and do an action in front of people and do pantomime or anything like that. You just need to do this task, this holy task of ministering the Word of God to the people. That's what they've come They're hungry for the word of God. God's people are hungry for the word of God. Feed them this word. God has given you the means whereby you are to minister to his people. And here is what they are: the reading of the word, the preaching of the word, the teaching. Make that the focus of your ministry. And this is the thing, my friends. It is a sad thing that the time that we live in, that many Bible-believing churches today, we hear very little or none of the Bible read in the public assemblies of the church. And that is a contradiction of the Bible's instruction for what we are supposed to do when we gather together for the worship of God. It is part of the worship of God. Because even if the minister with the best intentions wants to give a message which is in accord to with Scripture, but does not read Scripture, we'll begin to associate the minister's message with the minister and fail to see what he's simply that he's simply the messenger from a greater speaker, from a greater author, the Lord God. If he simply comes and says, "I just have a message from God for you," and maybe quote just half a verse. No, the minister must read the Scriptures. And that's why we always read in our gatherings, in every service, a portion of the Word of God. To recognize that. It is read separately to everything else. It is identified. Here is the reading of the Word of God. To identify this to be the only thing, it is the recognized thing, that this is the inspired Word of God. And everything that the minister says, it's in accord to this, the pages of this book and the words of this book. And so the Word of God is to be read through in the gathered assembly. But notice he goes on to say, to exhortation, give you thyself to... it says, let no man despise thy youth. Verse 13, he says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine or teaching. He combines those things. Throughout this letter, there has been an emphasis on Timothy's giving himself to doctrinal instruction, to teaching people the truth of the word. But notice how the Apostle Paul emphasizes exhortation here. And that's important. Do you know what exhortation means? In faithful preaching, there are always three things. Three things you should be looking for. There is the explanation of the Bible, so that you can understand it. There is the application of the Bible, so that you will understand how what the Bible teaches connects to your life. But then there is exhortation. That is, there is the compelling call to you to respond to the Word of God. So what ought you to do? There's a call given by the minister. Therefore, you ought to do this. Therefore, you must live your life like this. And questions are asked. Is this how your life is? You should be able to say at the end of the preaching, what does God want me to do? And then be able to answer that. This is what the Word of God says to me from what I have heard. Our preaching ought to impel the person to appropriate the application of God's word to their life. And Paul is saying that Timothy is to give himself to this kind of exhortation. He is to explain the word, he is to teach it, he is to then apply the word, and he is to exhort the people of God to embrace the word. And all wise Christians will value the ministry of the reading and preaching and teaching of the Word of God above all else. And show me, my friends, a church where those things are being squeezed out through lots of singing, through testimonies, through this and that and the other, and then now we come to the Word of God and there's very little is read and very small message is given. The Word of God and the preaching of it and the teaching of it is squeezed out, then I'll show you a dying church. dying spiritually. It may have lots of noise. It may have great buildings and great numbers of people. But it's not the kind of ministry, it's not the kind of church that the Word of God teaches us. So that must be the troubling thing when we come and there is the Word of God is squeezed into a little corner and then everything else takes its place. What has been done this morning in many pulpits of the land? What kind of message was it preached? What kind of thing? Was it a man-centered message that was preached this morning in many pulpits of the land? About people and things rather than about the verities of God and the truth of God? Then the fourth thing is this, and I will try to work through these things, and each verse could be a sermon by itself. But I trust that the Lord would bless it. Here in verse 14, the apostle says, "Do not neglect your calling and your gifting, Timothy. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." You need a long time to begin to expound this passage. But he's saying, do not neglect your spiritual gifting. What does he say? Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through the prophetic utterance, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. What is the laying on of the hands of the presbytery? Presbytery is the oversight, overseeing elders of the church, of the local church. And that is what they did. When Timothy was appointed, set aside for the work of the ministry, the elders came and laid hands on him. Let me say this about this passage. This passage shows us that even a divine, extraordinary, spiritual endowment from the third person of the Holy Trinity can be neglected in the life of a preacher. That's something he says, don't neglect it. Don't neglect that spiritual gift which the Lord has given to you. And that's why he says to Timothy, neglect not that gift. Neglect not that spiritual gift. Now, if that's true of a divine, extraordinary endowment from the third person of the Trinity, how much more true is it of the divine, ordinary endowment of the Holy Spirit? If Timothy needs to be careful that he cultivates this extraordinary endowment of the Holy Spirit, how much more should we cultivate the ordinary endowments of the Holy Spirit? All Christians should take heed to the cultivation of and reliance upon divine spiritual gifting. Because what God has called us to do as Christian witnesses is beyond the native inherent power of any human being. You cannot live the Christian life and to do those things that the Lord has called us to do, but in your own strength. That's what he's saying. Don't neglect. Remember, this is a spiritual task. Don't just go through the motions of this. Remember what you were called to. Remember what the Spirit called you to do and the blessing that he has given to you. What does God call us to do? Be witnesses to those who are spiritually dead, to call them to life. Now, how many of you have the power to raise the dead? That's right. And that's what God says you are to do in your witness. Raise the dead. Speak the word of truth so that the dead would live. You don't have the power to do that. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Timothy must be dependent upon it. And to be dependent upon that, he must cultivate the gift of the Holy Spirit in him. How much he must be on his knees. How much he needs to be there with others to pray. How much he must be there in private to seek the Lord. He needs the Lord's help. I need the Lord's help. You need the Lord's help. And then fifthly, he says to him, in verse 15. Absorb yourself, Timothy, in your Christian calling. Absorb yourself in your Christian calling, Timothy. Look at verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. So the apostle says to Timothy that he is to be engrossed with these things, with a view to making progress. Look at it. He says, meditate upon these things. This meditation, it's the word that it is not just meditating, it is something that is actually causing pain. It is a process that he is so concentrated. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress may be evident to all. Maybe it says that thy profiting, here is the word for progress, may appear to all. Timothy, be absorbed in this gospel business of right teaching and sound doctrine and faithful living. Be absorbed with these things. Be engrossed with them. And make these doctrinal and teaching and ethical concerns such a priority in your life that people will actually see you grow. You're making progress. You're not what you were 10 years ago when you started. You're not what you were 20 years ago. You're not what you were last year. You've actually grown. People have seen you grow. So Timothy, people ought to be able to see that because you have been in the Word of God. You've been under the Word yourself. That you've not just been preaching, but you've been growing yourself. You've been meditating on these things. You've engrossed yourself in these things. You've been absorbed in these truths. And that is because you've cared about walking with God. You've cared about holiness of life. You're growing in godliness. That's an example to us all. There ought to be progress made in our growth in the Christian life. There ought to be maturation. There ought to be maturity. We ought to be growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And so Paul says to Timothy and to us today, be absorbed in this gospel business. What a challenge it is to us. Are you growing? And then finally, he says, pay attention to yourself. Verse 16, pay attention. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That's the final exhortation. And he says this quite provocatively. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Is the Apostle Paul telling Timothy that he will save himself by preaching? No, that's not what he's saying. Is he saying that he will save others by his preaching, or that his preaching will be the ground of their salvation? No. In all of the apostles' writing, Paul's writing, he makes it clear that salvation is of God. God is the one who saves. It is God's grace that saves, but Paul also makes it clear that God uses means of grace. And he talks about it in Romans 10. Do you remember what he says? That faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. It's through the message that is preached, faith comes. God's sovereignty in salvation is not in contradiction to our being faithful to the means that God has given us. And so Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, pay close attention to yourself. Attend to your own soul. Take heed unto thyself, Timothy, because that will be the instrument that God has chosen for your own salvation and for the salvation of others. And so it is a serious thing. And that's quite a sobering thought. You know, it would be a terrible thing, wouldn't it, for a minister of the Word to spend his life pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ and never to go to the Savior himself. It would be a terrible thing of a minister of the gospel to spend his life telling people of the way of salvation and never to enter into that narrow gate himself. And my friends, it's an occupational hazard, we could say. Because when you talk about God and you talk about loving God and you talk about trusting God all the time, you can talk yourself into thinking that you are doing it when you are not. You can become very professional at it. People expect you to do those things. People expect you to pray. People expect you to read. People expect you to preach. You can't just go up and say, well, I don't really feel like it this morning. I'm so discouraged today. And so you can't do that. And so that is an occupational hazard to become professional at such things. And so he says, take heed to thyself. Take heed unto thyself, Timothy. Pay close attention to your own soul, your own life, your own teaching. And so that what you preach and teach, the word of God, the means of grace appointed by God, not only becomes the instrument that God uses for salvation of those who embrace Christ through your ministry, but as your own salvation. 6 sobering words to a young minister. 6 words that tells us what ministers ought to be and do. 6 words that tells us what ministry is. What's the focus of the ministry of this church? What's the focus of the ministry of your own life? It must be the ministry of the Word of God and the truths of it, the principles of it. When this goes from being central in the message that is preached, when it's simply a veneer that is put on, then it is that we deviate from biblical direction, from God's direction, about the health of the local church. When a minister of the gospel doesn't have a life to match his teaching or is kind and faithful in life, but refuses to teach the meat of the Word of God, ministry is then compromised. He's not doing what he must be doing. He ought to be doing. And people suffer from it. And Paul has these words for us so that we will know what a faithful minister looks like. To pray for ministers and elders. To be thankful when you go somewhere and you go on holiday. And it's as if you've gone from your home to another home. What a blessing that is to think. And God has his faithful ministers. He raises them. We can pray for such. When you're praying for men of God to be raised, you can pray, Lord, give us such men. May the Lord help us then. May the Lord help us that we will grow in grace, in doctrine, and in life for Christ's glory.